This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But today, in the brief time that we have together, I want to talk a little bit about success. Success. Many people will tell you different interpretations of that word success. Some people will tell you that they came to this country for success. And success to many is having a nice house, a nice car, some pounds in their bank account, one or two, three, four wives. What did I say? Very many, you know, for every person, you'll probably get a different definition of that word success. Is that right? Depending on who you ask, you know. To the sisters, maybe success is, you know, having a brother, having a husband with a nice, big car, beard, wotra. Depending on who you ask, isn't it? Right? But Allah is the creator of success, isn't it? So His definition is the most important definition of that word that there is. And every time you hear the adhan, you're always hearing Hayya ala al-Falah, isn't it? Come lively to success. And Allah has said to us in His kitab, after, of course, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qad aflahal mu'minun. Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Walladhina hum 'anil laghwi mu'ridun. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَّاةِ فَاعِلُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم لصلواتهم يحافظون على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين هم يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. Allah said, successful are the believers. Now right away, we should ask ourselves for their description, is that right? Because you want to be with them. Like, you don't want to go, when Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and go, right? I could be that. I could be like them. But you don't know who they are. Allah talks about, you know, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ, another surah, those who deny the Judgment Day, and He describes them because you don't want to be like them people. And He goes on to talk about them as believers. He didn't say قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ. That's very important. He didn't just say successful are those who submit. That's part of it. Because every Muslim has potential to be one of these mu'minun. You have to be Muslim first. So we have to understand that we have to know what these people are and their description and how Allah described them, because His definition of success is the definition. It's not a definition. And He goes on to say, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, that these people, these believers, may Allah make us from amongst them, they have in their salah khushu'. You know when you're praying, you have this, or you should have it, may Allah give it to us all, this closeness to the one that you're praying to. In that you have the honor, the prestige, and the privilege to stand up and to bow and to prostrate yourself in front of the Creator of all creation. The one who literally created the sun and put it in its place. The Creator of all things created. The one who established all the scientific laws that the planet abides by. The one who gave you everything that you have and everything that you are. You could be very clever and very smart, and Allah is the one who gave you the capacity to do that. And when you line up for your salah 5 times a day, inshallah, you're standing there and you're praying and you're knowing what it is that you're saying because you're communicating to Him. He has given you the tremendous blessing to be able to do that. Not everyone can do that. Not everyone has that luxury, that privilege. Islam is not yours. It's a gift that's been given to you from above 7 heavens, from the Creator of those 7 heavens. And when you're standing in front of Him, as those believers are doing, they have khushu' in their salah. When they're reading the Quran, they're not just going, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawm al-Din, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, Ihdina siratal mustaqim, siratal ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim, waradhdallin, Amin. Allahu Akbar. And they're just dancing through it. Some people do that. I've heard it said a lot. They say, oh, let's pray Maghrib and get it out of the way. As if it is something of a burden. Let's just get rid of it. Let's just quickly pray. Brother, be quick. So I've actually heard people say that to the Imam. Read shortly, okay? You gotta go. Where do you have to go? That Allah is gonna not, like, where do you have to go that Allah is not gonna let you go there? What is there that is more important than that? And half of having khushu' is knowing what you're saying, brothers and sisters. Okay, Arabic is not your language. It doesn't matter. Know what you're saying and reflect on who you're praying to. Is it going to kill you? And if it does, know that it's Allah that caused you to die. You live and breathe and die because He said so. He allows you to do that. So these believers, part of what makes them successful is they have khushu' in their salah. They know and they understand to the best of their ability who it is that they're praying to and what it is that they're praying for and what they're saying during their salah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ This is a common one for us right now. Because some of us, we will pray and cry in our salah. You know, we read those verses and we cry. But then as soon as we leave from here, it's, ew, did you see her hijab? Ew, her husband's so fat. Thank you, brother. Only one brother laughed at that. Ew! Have you seen his wife? Why did he marry such a short girl? She's so dark. Subhanallah. But you were crying in your salah. But these believers, they have khushu', but they also mind their mouth. That vicious belt of a tongue. Muhammad SAW said, there'll be a time when a person will tell a lie, and that lie will be spread all over the world. And now, of course, we can tweet lies. And it goes everywhere, doesn't it? Everywhere. People can see it who don't even know you. So when you gossip now, it's a whole different level. I'm sure that the companions used to wonder, how is it possible that I could tell a lie and it can go all over the world? How is that possible? People 20 years ago probably would wonder that if they're reading that hadith, because they didn't have those technology 20 years ago. Now you can post a Facebook post, and the power that you have with that sometimes is unimaginable. I mean, it's literally going, literally, not figuratively, literally going all over the world. So they watch their speech. They don't get involved in he said, she said. قَالَتْ وَقَالَ right? قِيلَ وَقَالَ they said and he said. They don't get involved in that. They try their best to avoid that. Because Muhammad ﷺ also said, if you can guarantee me two things, I can guarantee you paradise. Two things! Two! To protect what's between your jaws and to protect what's between your legs. Two things guarantee you paradise. Both actually are mentioned in these ayat, by the way. To not be involved in this needless gossip about people. And you should know that if you're talking about people, they could take your good deeds away. They can finish your good deeds. They can actually come on Yawm al-Qiyamah because you wronged them and you oppressed them, and they could take every single one of your good deeds. And if they're not happy, even after that, you start taking their bad deeds. Do you really want that? Do you really want brother so-and-so to come and scoop up all your good deeds? I mean, you work real hard in this life, inshallah, right? So you want brother Muhammad, you call them short and dark in this life. So he was upset about that. He comes on Yawm al-Qiyamah when you'll need every single hasanat you can get. He's going to come scoop up all your hasanat, just like that. And then, if he's still not happy, he's going to start offloading his bad deeds onto you. You don't want that. Sister Aisha, who you made fun of, because she has a bigger head than you, maybe. Wala a'udhu billah. I'm not making fun of her. I don't want her to take my good deeds either. But she could do that. She could come and just scoop up all your good deeds, ya akhti. You don't want that. That day, you know that day, just to give you an idea of that day, a person's mother will come to them on that day. And this is according to hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he will say, or she will say, I'm your mother. I raised you. I took care of you. I protected you. I fed you. I let you stay in my stomach for 9 months. I took care of you. Give me one hasanat. Give me one of your, just give me one of your hasanat. And that person will say no. No. Can you imagine denying your mom? Well, this person who was abused by gossip, you can't deny them. They're going to take it. They will take it away. Are your words really that important? Who cares if Muhammad is short and dark? Who cares? Did you make him? You didn't make him like that. Allah made him like that. Who cares if Sister Aisha has a big head? Who gave her that head? That head makes sujood to Allah. That head is decorated in a hijab. That head, inside that head, may be the Quran. Who cares? Allah made her like that. You gonna do? Change it by your words? Make her head smaller? She may make your good deeds smaller. Your grave may be smaller because of that. SubhanAllah, Aisha, I believe it was her, one of the wives of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something bad about Sauda. She's short and she's black. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what you said could darken the ocean if put in it. Could make the ocean black if put in it. Can you imagine the ocean is like 12 miles deep in some places? And that saying that statement, I think actually was said about Safiya. Wallahu a'lam, I could be corrected on that, but the point is what was said. What was said is that she was short and that she was black, dark skinned. And Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what you said would blacken the ocean, would contaminate the ocean if put into it. Be very careful about that, because this is something that a lot of us fall into. A lot, and that's why I'm spending a lot of time on it. You'll be asked about your words. So first is their salah. Second is that they guard their tongue. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِزَكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ And they pay their zakah. We have 1.7 billion Muslims in the world, roughly, mashallah, give or take. What would happen if all those Muslims, all of them, paid their zakah properly, and it was distributed properly? There would be no poor people in the world. Can you imagine? 1.7 billion people. Now obviously there are poor people and they wouldn't be able to pay their zakat. But let's even divide that into half. Let's say you had about 700 million people paying their zakat. That's not even half. That's less than half. It's probably about 800 million people paying their zakat to Syria, to Somalia, to Pakistan, to Palestine, to India, to the poor here in England, to the people who need it. And then those people, they came up because now they've been given something to come up with. So then they start paying as well. And Allah starts multiplying it for you, and Allah starts doubling it and tripling it and quadrupling it for you until everyone, including the non-Muslims, have. It's not the heavens don't rain gold and silver, but there's enough wealth to feed everyone. Because if we say that there's not, then what we're saying is that Allah is oppressing people. Which is not true. Allah doesn't oppress anyone. Allah creates you with your rizq. In this life. There's no magical money Martian that comes out of the sky delivering more pounds or dollars or whatever it is, rupees. It doesn't work like that. Everything that is to be created in this world is created already. It's not distributed properly. And that's the whole point of the zakat process. That these people, these believers, they pay their zakat. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ Oh my goodness. That's another problem that we have nowadays, right? They guard their chastity. I have to be careful when I talk about this. I get in trouble a little bit. They guard their chastity. Brothers, you too. Right? Everyone automatically assumes, oh yes, he's going to get at the sisters. Well, the sisters know my Facebook page and I don't do that. I get at you guys first. Because they don't have to wear hijab unless you're here, by the way. If you're not here, they can take that off. Is that right, sisters? That's right, right? Seeds of change, right? The only reason you have to wear that on your head is because these guys are here. Right? So they have to guard their chastity too. They can't have you on high beam all the time looking at everybody. Oh, sister, mashallah, mashallah. Looking very nice today. Right? Brothers, not laughing now, are you? Ha ha! Sister's up there laughing, though. Brother comes out. He's yelling at the sisters. Sister, wear your hijab. And he's wearing a tank top. Showing us his little abs, right? His little health club abs that he worked so hard to get. He has to come and show us as if we want to see that. Alhamdulillah for the gift of blindness, y'all. I don't need to see that. And that, if Allah does return my eyesight, I hope that ain't the first thing I see. Some brother yelling at the sisters about hijab and he's flexing his four pack. You have to put your hijab, sister. MashaAllah. Sisters already know that, akhi. They get told that every single conference, right? To the point they don't even want to come no more. Can we just have one conference where the hijab is not mentioned? I actually got email like that. Sister told me like that. They already know. They're told that all the time. But are you told? You got to guard yourself. You can't be walking around here showing us what you think you have. MashaAllah. And then they're going to go, right? They're going to go, he's jealous. I knew what those muscles were before you knew where they were. You see? I knew what they were for before you knew what they were. So no, I'm not jealous. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Illa ala azwajihim aw ma malakat aymanuhum. You have a way out. Now we're not going to deal with Malak al-Yameen. That's a topic for a scholar, which I am not. We will deal with the wives though, brother and sister. This is for both of you guys. Because you do have a way out for your wife and your husband when you get one, inshallah. Some of y'all already got them. Alright? No married people in here? Am I the only one? Really? Married people, where at? All quiet, right? All quiet. You're going to get in trouble because later on, she's going to ask you, how come you didn't say yeah when Abu Hafsa said so? Sisters ain't got to answer me. They got haya, right? brothers sit down front going, if I tell him, maybe he won't look for me a second one. Subhanallah. But you're allowed to do that once you're married. You're allowed to like decorate yourself for your wife and for your husband, brother. Not just during the courting stage either, right? You bring the flowers to her dad's house and you're all piyadi piyadi, right? As-salamu alaykum. Hi, sister. MashaAllah. Ke hale? I've come to meet your dad. He's all like, he's all Muhammad Rafi on the people, right? He's singing nasheeds to her dad and he's all mashallah, mashallah. The mom is all, you know, aunties are all flipping out and they're cooking in the house and stuff because the new son-in-law is coming over. Wow. Divani hai, right? So everything is all crazy, right? Then 2 months in, he walks in the house and it's like this.
Song.
No flower. The only flower he brings her is the one to make bread with now, right? He don't bring her them other flowers no more. And even her, right? When he comes to the house, As-salamu alaykum. She's all like, wow. She's all mashallah, mashallah. She loves him too much now, right? Because they're going to get married and she has to look her best on the wedding day and she spends 100 pounds on her hair and then puts a hijab on over it. I never quite understood that, but mashallah. It must be a sister thing. As long as I ain't got to pay for it, it's all good. That's actually part of the deal that the man has to pay for it. So, but then once the wedding is done and the honeymoon is over, he comes home to this same old thing every day. He's
As-salamu alaykum,
and she's Aysam, and that's it. The perfume. But then when the wedding comes, she gets all dressed up, right, Akhi? She don't dress like that for you, but she dressed like that for her friends. Or when a conference comes, the brother puts on his perfume, and he puts on his nice thobe, and he walks out the house looking fly. But to her, he's just another guy. Doesn't look like that. You don't dress like that for your wife when she cooks for you, Akhi. Why not? You dress like that for a restaurant, wouldn't you? You come out looking fly for the restaurant. Some stranger cook for you in a restaurant. You don't even know who that person is. Maybe they spin your food. It's possible, right? You say something he doesn't like. Y'all ain't never going to eat in restaurants again. But she work hard all day for you. She works hard all day for you. And you come home and you're just you.
Get out of the way of the TV. Manchester's playing, don't you know that? Clear out.
And even her, he, like, sister, he works real hard all day. And he's trying to be good. So he comes home and, like, there's no, hair is not done. It's not a wedding, obviously the hair is not done. He just, you know, you're supposed to beautify yourself for him as well. I'm not just trying to rip the brothers, although it is a lot of fun. It's not just them. It's you guys too. Don't just dress up for the sister's event or for See the Change. Because that's your way out. Because for them, they're not blameworthy. It's actually a source of blessing for you to do that. To look good for your wife, to look good for your husband when you get them. It's a source of ajr for you. You actually get ajr for that. Can you imagine, sister? You take the perfume like this inside your house and you go, you get ajr for that? He comes home and he's like, mashallah, he's all in love with you again, right? He brings you the real flowers instead of the one you cook with. Or brother, you buy a nice, like, you buy some nice clothes and you just wear it for her. Just surprise her. Show up one day when she made the tandoori chicken and whatnot. Come out dressed like that, looking fly. It's going to go a long way, I'm telling you. I'm giving you pearls, y'all. Alhamdulillah. That's from experience. You do that. Muhammad SAW was the most romantic man in the world. Ever. But astaghfirullah. It's not romantic. He's the messenger. Bro, he used to look for where Aisha's mouth was on the milk glass. And he used to drink from that place. That's game, I'm sorry. I never thought of that. Ever. He used to find the place where her teeth bit the food and he used to bite there.
Are you serious? You ain't got game like that, Akhi. You're not romantic like that. He used to put his head in her lap and read the Quran. And you worried about the football game. But if they go outside that bounds, then they're going to be blameworthy for that. That's not allowed. Because he gave you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave you wives and gave you husbands that you might enjoy them like that and get the reward. Just like you get punished for going the wrong way, you get blessings for doing it the right way. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ And they are guardians of their trusts and their promises when they make them. You know, one little boy came to me, and he was upset. A little teenager, a little kid. And he said, I don't know if I'm wrong, but I hate it when my dad says inshallah. I'm like, wow, really? He said, yeah, I hate it when he said. I'm like, why do you hate it? What's wrong with you? What's your problem? Why do you hate that? He said, because when he says inshallah, it means he ain't gonna do what he said. He never says inshallah to his boss, and he always does what the boss wants. He says inshallah to me, I know it's not gonna happen. It's called the inshallah game, right? And we do it to each other. Brother, I need you to come at 9 o'clock in the morning. Inshallah. And he know he don't get up until 12, right? He know full well he ain't gonna be there at 9 o'clock. His boss, he would. I need you to come at 9 o'clock. Okay, sir. Click, and he's there. He's there, 8:30. He ain't saying inshallah to his boss, but he shows up a half hour before. Because we play the inshallah game. Inshallah means leave me alone to us. To many of us, it means that. Right? Leave me alone. Don't call me again. Because if you say something to him when he say inshallah, then are you questioning the qadr of Allah? Bro, everything is inshallah. Your next breath is inshallah. But you try your best to do what you say. Or say you can't do it. Be a man. Be a woman and say, listen, akhi, I don't get up till 12. I'm gonna tell you I'm gonna be there, but I'm not. I'm not coming until 1. If you can deal with that, then that's fine. Otherwise, inshallah, get you someone else. Cause I ain't gonna be here. I sleep in and I'm terrible. I can't tell time. I had a brother come. I was on a tour. I actually abused him after that, but long was time. I was supposed to catch an 8:30 train. Right? This brother show up at the hotel at 8:25. I'm supposed to make it from the hotel to the platform in 5 minutes. I'm in the car at 8:30, and he's like, inshallah, we'll make it. I'm like, bro, these English trains don't wait for nobody. These white folks move on time. I get there at 8:45, obviously. And guess what? Miracle of miracles! The train's gone. And then he goes to me, well, brother, Allah didn't mean for it to happen. And I just abused him, absolutely, verbally assaulted him. I said, bro, it's not Allah's fault that you cannot read a watch. Don't blame Allah for your lack of the ability to tell time. You're telling me that you're going to be at a certain place at a certain time, and you didn't come. Now, if you try, that's different. Trying and failing is different. That's a different thing. But sometimes it isn't like that, is it? Inshallah, inshallah. 3 o'clock, brother. It's like 3 o'clock comes, 3:30 comes, 4 o'clock, four. I know brothers who are perpetually late. The only thing they will be on time for is their funeral. And that's because Malakul Maut is in charge of all of that. That's the only time they're going to be on time is for their funeral. Everything else, they're late. And I don't mean 5 minutes. I mean 3 hours. MashaAllah. You can guarantee that he's not going to be on time. And some people are known for that. And it's not a good thing to be known for. Especially nowadays, right? When your alarm clock goes off and you're never late for the non-Muslims. Imagine if we treated our jobs the same way we treat each other. Okay, boss. I know I start at 9 o'clock, but I'm going to come at 12. And you get to your boss, hey there, Why are you late, Mustafa?
Well, sir, Allah didn't make it for me to come on time. He's going to tell you to your face, well, maybe Allah will find you another job. And you're gone, right? That's it. Out. But the biggest covenant, the biggest promise that you've made is whenever you open your mouth and say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Everything else is small compared to that. That is a covenant that you make every day. Every day you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. In the adhan, right? Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Every single day when you say that, you're making a covenant. You are pledging yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is your Lord. He is your Lord and all your worship is directed to Him. Everything that you, all your ibadah, all your worship is directed to Him, and to Him belong the most beautiful names. And that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His last messenger, and there is no messenger and no prophet after Him. You're saying that, and it's a covenant. And it's a covenant that is extremely heavy. It's heavy in this life because you have to live up to it, isn't it? But it's also heavy in the next life because it can erase every single sin that you have. It can erase them with the permission of Allah. Every single thing that you ever did wrong. Can you imagine that? I want you to envision it to yourself. Because it will happen to you. You'll be in front of Allah. You too, sister. It's not just for the men, it's for you too. You'll be in front of Allah. And maybe you will see your sins in a big, huge scroll that is as far as the horizon. You're seeing it. It's huge. And you're thinking to yourself, this day I'm done. This day I'm over. I'm finished. And then someone will tell you that you will not be wronged on this day. So they'll be put on a scale. All these bad deeds of yours will be put on a scale. And then someone will come and they'll give you a little card. A small scroll. On that scroll it says that covenant that you make every day. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And you'll be on the other side of that scale and it will erase all those bad deeds. Boom, gone, completed, absolutely gone. Yes, it is heavy now. It is, of course it is. But it's going to be heavy then too. That's the covenant. That's the most important covenant and it encompasses everything good. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. And they protect their salah. It's interesting how Allah mentions salah twice in these collection of verses. The first time He mentioned it, it talks about the feeling in the salah. And now, the second time He mentioned it, it's about protecting that salah. Because sometimes, you know, and I'm not talking about the one who sometimes sleeps in. You know, we're not perfect, you guys. No one in here is crystal clear and clean completely. We're all human beings. The best of those who make mistakes are the ones who turn back to Allah. So you're trying to do it. And you're trying your best to protect it. And Allah knows that. And that's why I'm telling you about these things as an encouragement to you and to myself. That these people, they protect their salah. They guard it. The sisters get a little break. But brothers, you don't. You need to be, if you're above the age of 10, you need to be praying every day, 5 times. And be happy it's not 10. 5 times, akhi, you don't get no vacation. If you're sick, you pray sitting. If you can't sit, you pray laying down. You pray, akhi. Because the one who doesn't pray, laqad kafaru. Sisters, you too, you may get a break, but if you're not on that break, you need to be praying too. I'm serious. The first thing that you'll be questioned about is your salah. Try your best. Do you know the companions one time they missed Fajr? Right? Look at me like that. Some of y'all miss Fajr every day. Subhanallah. Companions miss Fajr. They slept. Excuse, right? If you sleep, how are you going to make the salah if you sleep? It's an excuse. Do you know what they thought? They thought that because they didn't pray, that Allah was going to send an earthquake for them. That's how serious it was. These are the generation that Allah said, "Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an." And they thought that because they missed the prayer. They were so concerned with it that they thought Allah is going to send an earthquake for them. Think of your salah like that. Try. If you can't do it, try. Keep trying. Don't stop trying. Why? Because if all these people did what Allah describes for them to do, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. They are the inheritors. الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. They are the inheritors. When you inherit something, can nobody take it from you, right? It's your right to have it, inshallah. الذين يرثون الفردوس. They don't inherit Jannah. Jannah is not good enough for these people. Jannah is like down for them a little bit. They don't get Jannah. Irshid say, inshallah, you, may Allah make you from amongst those people. You, if you're amongst those people, you will not get Jannah. You will get Firdaus. Firdaus is the highest place in paradise. It's not just paradise, right? Paradise is like the slums for you, because Firdaus is like where the poshi people live, all the prophets and that. You look down at Jannah and go, oh my God. I'm in Firdaus. This is like, you know, that's it. I'm ball. I cribs. Forget MTV cribs. I'm Firdaus. Yeah, that's where all the prophets live and stuff. You could say salams to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam up there. In fact, right above your head, right above you is the throne of Allah. Firdaus, brothers, sisters, can you imagine? Of course you can't. If you can, you're lying. Because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there's things there that the ear has never heard and the eye has never seen and the heart has never contemplated. So if you're telling me, yeah, I can imagine that, you're lying. You can't. But, inshallah, you will. Simple rules. Very simple. Have your khushu' in your salah. Keep doing it. Keep trying it. If it doesn't work today, do it tomorrow. If it doesn't work tomorrow, do it the next day. Keep doing it. Trying to have that khushu' in your salah. Guard your tongue from crap. Don't let anyone fill your mouth with foolishness. Who cares if someone's short or tall or dark or white? Who cares? Doesn't matter. Guard your tongue away from it. Pay your zakah when you can. And if you can't, ask Allah to give you more so you can. Guard your chastity. Except with your wives and your husbands. You can look fly for them, right? You can look good for them. For them, you're not blameworthy. But if you go beyond that, you will be blameworthy. When you make a promise, keep it. Keep it. Or don't make it. Easy, right? Protect your salah. Pray it on time. And if you do those things, you will be from amongst the inheritors of Al-Firdaus. There you will stay forever without any worry. So don't worry about that once you enter that place, inshallah. You can, hopefully if I get to enter it with you, you can look at me and go, Abu Hafsa, you're right. You kept us here until 10 o'clock in the night, even when they told you you were out of time. And it was all worth it, inshallah. May Allah make us from amongst those people. And if you're not from them, you don't think you are, then start today. Because none of us are actually from them. We need to all work on it. No one's perfect. You're not alone. London, Zakumullah Khairan. It's been a blast, you guys. Hopefully I'll be back here sooner than later. يَقُولُ غَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَلِي وَلَكُمْ. Check out the fan page, because that's where you can get at me and say how, you know, long I took and all that good stuff. Anyway, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.